I totally agree with you, and those are one of the things that are not being done at this point, where there is somebody who would actually record the actual shared services based on 19.5% on the listener support figures. Every month, whether it's paid or not, you record the actual percentage of listener support as shared services. But that's the actual basis of accounting. Regardless of whether it's paid or not, we have to recognize that shared expenses or cost of KPFA that's owed to the National Office of 19.5%. That's the accrual basis. But like I said earlier, this was just based on the actual transfer of cash at that point as of March 31st. Since then, we have caught up the cash payments from KPFA because we had to collect from KPFA more money so that we could loan it to New York. And so
you're saying that KPFA was behind on March 31st, but may not be as behind right now.
As of March 31st, if that was this is just based on cash. Yes.
Ah, well, okay. Well, that's information that was not conveyed at the time. But okay, fair enough. The other things that I would pass on is that on the revenue side. We don't have advertising income, so the funds in account 5700 are mistaken in some way. We've lost our community services income, our community events income, which we have legitimately. And I don't know where our car payments went, our car donations went. If in fact 3400 is the right number, that's a drop by more than 70%, and it's bizarre.
Okay, you're looking at the details.
So there's a couple of other line items here that I either need some clarification on, or there needs to be some, or they're, what's the word? They're interesting factoids that need to be dealt with.
As I look at this, there is some miscategorized income that was just put on listener support or some car donation. Entered into as others. So they're all like...
Yeah, there's also insanely high health benefits that are, you know, $50,000 higher than KPFK, which seems a bit nuts to me. But
yeah, and like I said, this is, again, there's a miscoding, and some of the bill backs were not probably allocated correctly at that point. But that's one of the things the reason why I couldn't really... issued a financial statement because there was no actual. It would take me weeks to actually dwell on this, and then at the same time, probably ignoring the audit function. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody to go over this.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, and Barbara, if you could provide a written, an electronic copy of what Maria came up with by the end of April, it would give some opportunity to help sort what here is a mistake or what doesn't match up, because I'm guessing that a whole lot of things doesn't match up and we need to figure out who's correct and who's not.
It was distributed, as I said, at the LSB meeting, but we can send one to you electronically.
If you would, yeah. Thanks, because I wasn't at the LSB meeting. Okay. All right. So I don't know that anyone else has had a chance to process these or not, but if anyone else has any questions about their stations.
For a comment.
Yeah. I mean, eyeballing this, I can see a couple of things that are interesting about KPFK and BAI and so on, but it may be that we actually need to kick this over to the next meeting to give people time to kind of work it over. So before we continue with KPFK, is there anybody else? Michael? Is that?
I was saying I'd appreciate it if we would, because I just got it when you forwarded it just now, so I'm printing it out and looking at it, but hard to read on my screen.
Yeah, it actually doesn't look terribly off from where Anthony was. So for KPFK, we may be in not bad shape, but you'll have to let us know. Okay, is there anybody? Okay, Barbara?
Well, I just, I'm not looking at it, and I will, but it seems to me, that just the figures you're reading off, that there is certainly some of our shared services money that is somewhere in the intercompany account because of the manner in which we've been asked to, you know, help pay things, but then it was supposed to be credited to our shared services. So it just sounds to me as though not only do we have to look this over before our next meeting, but I would hope that some more reconciliation can be done from the national office point of view, because it doesn't sound like it's terribly complete or accurate.
It is not accurate. It is not accurate. Like I said, just looking at the
first pass.
Well, the intercompany accounts, as they're currently reconciled, don't help KPFA. They're showing KPFA owing
a whole
bunch of money. So, I mean, they don't help KPFA. They're showing KPFA holding a whole bunch, owing a whole bunch more money, more than I think KPFA actually does. So, that's not whatever is off kilter here. If you take a look at the balance sheet, you'll see that the intercompany receivables show every station owing the national office a substantial amount of money besides KPFK.
Yeah, the intercompany should be a wash between the stations and the national office, but it's not. So this needs a lot of reconciliation. And again, our audit, whatever the year end, should be carried forward to these balances. And hopefully, once we finalize the audit numbers, we'll be able to reconcile and roll forward the beginning balance of October 2012 back to the current month. Except that we are trying to finish the audit and get a good number for the year end, 2012, so that we could continue the reconciliation for the intercompany accounts.
Yeah.
There is a lot of reconciliation, as you can see, that needed to be done, and this is with the audit and the other issues that we're dealing with. This is not going to be done by the next meeting of the
Okay. Well, we'll have to try to piece it together as best we can. But
yeah.
If you have, I can see that.
Input, you know, what to look for, and you know, be happy to. That'll be great.
Yeah. All right, well, on the income statement level, I think we can probably do that. On the balance sheet, I'm a little speechless, and I'm not quite sure that any of us can really tackle that. It's gravely out of whack. Okay. I guess that's about all that we can do there. Is there anyone else who wants to comment on their station, or should we just kick the whole thing to the future from here?
This is Jim. I really can't do it today.
Yeah.
I don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That seems to be unanimous. All right. So that's going to move us to the crowdfunding proposal. We do have a proposal from KPFK. I know it's under some discussion, but at least it has some bones to it. The other stations were supposed to sort of think about the concept and come back with a little bit more bones to what they wanted to do. I know Texas was going to do that, and it sounds like Berkeley has something to report, and I'm not sure about New York and D.C., but I guess we'll find out. So, Barbara, do you want to go first?
Yeah, this was something that was brought, I reported on at the last LSB meeting, which was last Saturday, and we didn't pass a motion or anything, but people responded very positively, and lots of, you know, shaking of heads and so on. We had a report from our interim general manager, and then lots of questions. And one of the things people were asking about was this piece of property that we call the Nakupan. It used to be a restaurant. It's on the corner next to the national office on the other side of KPFA's quarters. And it, of course, it is a huge undertaking. It's practically like building a new building. The amount of refurbishing and rebuilding that would be needed for that to be an occupiable space. And after our last NFC meeting, where we talked a little about this crowdfunding idea, and I understood better what it was, it occurred to me that this would be a perfect kind of undertaking to put up on a website as a long-term thing that you might, you know, gather donations for. And so we haven't started any work. I'm thinking that the first thing to do is to get a very loose estimate from an architect, say, of what it would cost us to pay for a plan, and then try to make some sort of an estimate, huge ballpark, about refurbishing this building and making it usable, or this parcel, the building that is on this particular parcel. And everybody in the room was nodding their head, yes, this is a good idea. So I'm not quite sure where else to take it. I think we'll talk about it again in the next LSB meeting, but it seemed like this was the idea that's logical for us to pursue. Okay. There are many other expenses that we need, but most of those are immediate. And this would certainly be, if we had the money to undertake it, a long-term project.
Okay.
Question?
Sure. Go ahead, Richard.
Barbara, what were y'all talking about doing with the, what was the function of the, what would the function of the building be after you renovated it?
Well, we hadn't talked about that. It has to be usable before you decide on what you're going to put in there. Right now, it's passable as storage. It has no plumbing, so in other words, there can be no bathrooms or sinks of any kind. There is walls that are unfinished. There are walls that are unfinished. And there is a foundation that is would seriously have to be redone. So anything where humans are going to occupy the place, no matter what project we decided was going to go in there, it needs to be something more than just the no longer in use little old cafe that's now storage.
May I comment? I know a little bit about that space. I've studied it.
Yeah, I know you do, Richard. Go ahead. I may chime in. Go ahead.
The main reason the floor is so odd is that's built on a hillside, and the front of it is lower by about 2.5 feet from the back of it. There's excellent new lighting, electricity in the ceiling around. It's a little tacky. It has exposed armored cable and stuff like that. But there is some plumbing there. It's just that it's just cut off and knocked down to the edge of surfaces. I think to undertake using that, you would really be, and I agree with you, that it would be a great deal of money to get it retrofitted and up to speed. I think the better use would be to sell it to somebody that would make it into a cafe or whatever they wanted to make it into, because that neighborhood is coming up in value. So I don't see any. I don't think we ought to. We don't handle things like that well, and I don't think we ought to undertake or even think about undertaking making that a viable thing. I think we ought to look at selling it.
Okay, Tracy's of the stack. You know, I'm of mixed mind about it. I mean, it was a perfectly functioning Thai restaurant until the year 2000, so the building certainly was more than habitable. It was, you know, it was passing umbrage as a restaurant. It's kind of tragic that we allowed it to deteriorate, abandoned for, you know, 12-plus years. That's not what a responsible property owner does. And so we've sort of made this mess for ourselves. But I don't think it's such, frankly, such a massive, massive effort to get the place habitable. And I also think that probably there would be contractors among the listener constituency who would help us out. And I think it's a, you know, it's a reasonable project to sort of undertake. It's probably twice the project that it would have been 5 or 7 years ago. So there's something about the amount of time that it took us to notice that we were landlords to an abandoned building is a little sad. And obviously things deteriorate when they're not maintained. And so I think we've sort of, you know, created a bigger problem than the one that we originally had, which is that we should have re-rented the space in 2001, like a normal landlord, or used it ourselves if we were unable to find a tenant. I'm sure that we could have found a tenant for that location. That said, it's not going to get better if we continue to keep it abandoned, so I'm all in favor of doing something with it. And if we can get a little bit of crowdfunding support to help, I think that would be great. We'll need to sort of come up with a use for the space that is exciting to people, I think, in order to support much crowdfunding. You know, it'll need to be something that people feel like will be useful to them and a benefit to the community and something that, you know, that they think is cool. So that's kind of, I think, how we'll have to structure it. You know, it can't just be about gussing up our property values. I mean, that's not of interest to the universe. It needs to be about, you know, something that the community is going to have that it didn't have before. And I'm guessing we can brainstorm something fun. And, of course, we do have access to some funds at the San Francisco Foundation for Capital Improvements. So this may be a scenario where kind of we can do a matching fund thing. If we can raise X, we have Y, and therefore the project can go forward, which is a good way to fundraise. Okay. So what stations do we have left? Texas. What's your idea?
Yeah, we're... we tossed it around. I wasn't that familiar with QuickStarter and just went on the website to see what other organizations or projects are. One project, Robin Lewis, our development director, had discussed how in the past we tried to do some summer internships, but we never had the staff to do the planning or the supervision of interns. And she had suggested doing kind of a pilot project over Christmas, primarily to see if Kickstarter was even viable, where a director of a program would be set up aimed at having a 2-week internship over the Christmas holiday for 2 sets of high school interns, possibly 6 to 8, having a morning, 4-hour morning session during that two-week period, and then 6 to 8 in the afternoon of learning how to run a radio station. And we were looking at this primarily because we're looking at juniors and seniors in high school. So we would have kids, we would have media. The kids could come in and start first day as far as stuffing envelopes, seeing the station, going on to sitting with programmers, then putting together a PSA, eventually getting to doing maybe 5 to 10 minutes of on-air programming that they put together, possibly on the KPFT News, maybe if one of the other programmers gets together, the interns could put together 5 to 10 minutes of their program. And in looking at the other Kickstarter programs or projects, people always wanted something. And the benefit of this would be that once it was all over, there would be an on-air production that any of the donors could actually listen to if they wanted to. It would also be an archive that could get it later. And the interns would record on a CD or whatever flash drive and send a copy of what they did on the air to each of the donors. And it seemed to fit in to most of the parameters that other Kickstarter projects were aiming for. It was very focused. It would be a 2-week period. We're involving education, we're involving kids, we're involving media, and at the end of it, the donors would actually get a product. They could listen to it live, or they could listen to their CD or flash drive. The cost would be hiring someone probably for 3-3.5 weeks to plan and supervise over this period of time, which could be a teacher, high school teacher, who is free over the Christmas holiday. But the project is small. It'd probably take maybe $4,000, $4,500 to run the whole thing. And it's, from my standpoint, it's primarily to see if Kickstarter could actually work for this type of a program that's not a capital improvement, but something we could ramp up in the summer for having maybe a whole summer of interns coming in on a rotating basis for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And so it could be, we're setting it up potentially this Christmas to be a small project prototype with the expectation of expanding it if it worked. And it looked like we'd get donors to do this, expanding it to the summer. But it seemed to have all the elements that this crowdfunding was looking for. But we're going to, LSB is tomorrow, and that we're going to present it. People I presented that to seem to be pretty positive, but we'll present it and see what the LSB thinks about it.
Okay. So, all right. So, with understanding that in D.C. and New York there's a lot of stuff going on, and, it may be harder to make the decision to participate in this, and my idea was that we certainly had at least 3 different projects to offer in a menu, possibly more, and I'm guessing the archives will have something as well. But let's ask and see if you guys came up with anything. So for D.C., Tony, has this come up at all, or what do you think what's your prognosis?
No, we haven't had an opportunity to discuss. We have an LSB meeting tomorrow night, and we can bounce it off there. But as an LSB, no, we haven't had an opportunity to really throw it around a little bit.
Okay, well, give it a try, see what happens, and let us know.
Okay.
Our Paul?
Well, yeah, I brought up on the last meeting we had, on the last NFC meeting, I brought something up, and complications are even getting to talk to people and figuring out what equipment we actually have, because stuff's in storage and is moving around, and now that there's a building that we're leasing, some of the storage is being emptied out so that it can be shoved into this place, and it's musical chairs with what we even have right now. So I don't know how that's going to work out with it all. We do have an LSB meeting tomorrow night, but I think we're going to be talking about other things as a priority as opposed to the crowdfunding thing tomorrow night. So I'm hoping that we can get to this, but it's not on top of our list right now.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured, and I don't think the project needs to wait for BAI to be ready, but if you get to a point where it makes sense, I think it can certainly be added in, and that may be just kind of the way it is. Okay, good. So just in terms of next steps, just in terms of next steps, and yeah, I will get to you, Michael. I'm not ignoring you. I just want to finish the sentence.
Yeah,
in terms of next steps, basically what we need is kind of what we got from KPFK, which is some images and text about kind of the nature of the project that we probably wouldn't use, word for word, but that would give us something to kind of work from in setting something up probably on the Pacifica website and then a parallel on some kind of crowdfunding site. So for the stations that are sort of closing in on what project, like Texas and Berkeley, start sort of preparing a kind of like a project statement and some pictures, like KPFA would show a picture of the space and then maybe an imaginary picture of what it might look like in the future. And that kind of thing, and a couple of paragraphs of text. Okay, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, this is not on that. I wanted to actually go back to the consolidated statements for a minute, if that's okay.
Yeah.
This is on the balance sheet. I found a couple of things that are quite confusing to me, so I was hoping to get some clarity. In the section on assets for KPFK, it's showing a deficit in the CPB other receivables of $111,000, and I'm wondering what that was. And then in the national office, it's showing a deficit of $283,943 in cash in bank or proof of cash or both. I'm wondering what that is. So if Roel is still on the call and could explain anything about that, I'd appreciate it.
I cannot tell you right now what they are. I could look into it.
Okay. Yeah, if you could look at it and get back to me, I'm either on that list or you can send me an email separately.
Yeah, like I said, these haven't been reconciled, and I haven't really called on this, the details on this, so I have to go and look into it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's all. If you could take a look at that, I realize you got a lot on your plate, but those figures seem extremely confusing. How we can have a deficit figure on cash and banks. So,
Well, the entire financial statement, I can tell you that we're in the same position. It's very concerning. Like I said, this financial statement based on what was entered during the first 6 months,
yeah.
And
okay.
No review nor reconciliation has been done.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree that I don't understand lots of things on there. But anyway, okay. All right, so that brings us to our last item, and we're making good time tonight, which is good, which has been sitting on the agenda for 9 million years, so it's probably good that we get to it and kind of clean it out. My preference is that things not stay on the agenda for 6 months at a time, if we can manage it. So let me just clarify what the item is and what it came out of and what we hope to get out of it. And those of you who were on the Finance Committee last year, which I guess is our Paul and Jim, if anything about my memory doesn't seem quite right, feel free to jump in. The item came from Ken Aaron at KPFK, and it came out of discussions, confusions regarding the sort of pledge transfers back and forth between KPFA and KPFK, which actually are one way. They come from KPFA to KPFK, which relate to programs that are simulcast on both stations, which is primarily Letters in Politics and the Evening News, with the emphasis on sort of Letters in Politics. And we later found out that this extended to any pledges that came in from Southern California zip codes, regardless of the time of day that they came in. were being transferred down to L.A. with a scenario where they were not going through the books in Berkeley. They were simply being transferred as, you know, potential pledges, and then L.A. was processing them. This is not something that's been going on at the other stations, as I understand it, and we do have other simulcasts throughout the network. So the question sort of came up, number one, were there ways in which this was confusing? And there are ways in which this was confusing, because it creates situations where KPFA has chalkboard totals and then real totals, and it gets a little muddly from time to time. And also that we were not sort of handling these things consistently throughout the whole network, which also sort of created some confusion, because there were other simulcast programs that were not necessarily operating that way, or what would we do in the future if there were more simulcast programs, because doing this between five different stations is kind of crazy. So the question came up was sort of, did we need a sort of a policy here, be it sort of a macro policy about sort of how we do this or how this should be done? Do we want to let stations make individual arrangements depending on the circumstances? Do we want to have kind of a policy about how this sort of thing goes? Are there other simulcast or, you know, syndicated programs or arrangements between stations that we're not aware of? These were sort of the things that were on the table, and we wanted to have a discussion about it. So that's my recollection of where it came from and what it's about. I think there was probably a motion that Ken was in the process of developing, but he never really formally developed it. He's not here anymore, so we are left with the discussion. So I think it can go wherever this finance committee wants it to go. So, Paul, Jim, is there anything there that you think that I left out or misstated, or Barbara?
No, that sounds like the issue as I remember it.
All right.
Well, I have spent some time talking to the staff people here involved with this, so I wouldn't say that you've stated anything terribly wrong, but... And it is true, if it's you're going to discuss what's going on in the whole network, that's different than just how are things going between KPFA and KPFK and the handling of those pledges.
Yeah, we had some issues.
The staff there has been well.
Yeah, we had some issues at some point last year where we had very different amounts. KPFK thought one amount, KPFK thought another amount. There were big mistakes, and something was done about the way the pledges were transmitted to increase
yes.
the clarity.
Yes.
Which is good.
The big discrepancy was the misreading of a placement of a decimal point. And so we caught, we were asking a question about the amounts from both stations in the midst of the process of the staff transferring this information to each other, and then they hadn't reconciled their list yet. So it really wasn't a huge problem. It was where we stepped in and looked at the process.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess the first question to kind of put out is, are there any other arrangements like this going on in the network? We do have some programs that are syndicated on more than one station, but I don't believe that they're actually simulcast at the same time, or that the pledge drives are simulcast, as is the case with the California stations. Am I wrong about that? Is there something I don't know operationally about East Coast or Texas?
I have a question, Tracy. Are you including the affiliates?
No. Because
okay.
we have no...
I know nothing about the transmission of how it's all handled with the programs that go to the affiliate stations.
The affiliates always keep their own pledges, they're independent organizations, and the only transfer of funds is annual affiliate fees.
Well, I was actually thinking more of the syndicated programs, if you were going to be talking about that in some kind of isolated way. Separate from the pledging, I mean.
No, it's between the 501c3.
You're just talking about the pledging related.
That are part of the same 501c3, not other 501c3s. Okay, so I guess the answer to the question is no. I know Texas at times has played some programs from other stations.
The only thing we do from the vault, and we have Al Jazeera, but we don't do that anymore. I'm trying to think over our program schedule, and I don't remember anything else, and I don't think it's
no. Right, and you guys don't play Flashpoints anymore, do you?
We have a lot of program on our digital, and I don't know if that how we get that, if that is if that's live or if we just post things up there. I don't know really what we do on the back channel.
Yeah. Okay, and I know Tony, Letters in Politics, and Sojourner Truth are playing on WPFW, but you're keeping all the pledges, right?
Yes, they do, yeah. And they've done they've helped us out with a special pledge drive just for us.
Oh, did they? How nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did reasonably well, pretty good.
Okay. Well, as we've talked about in the past, the KPFK-KPFK situation would probably be ameliorated considerably by syndicating the timing on the fund drives, because then when those programs are fundraising, maybe fundraising at the same time, rather than having a sort of 6-week extended fund drive. Because in this case now, these programs are fundraising whenever either station is in fund drive, so if their fund drives are spread out, one begins, for example, KPFA's began May 2nd, and I don't think KPFK went into fund drive until like May 16th or something. So you had basically those programs fundraising from May 2nd to like June. When did you guys stop in Los Angeles? June 5th?
Last Friday. We actually reached our goal, I think, on the 5th, but since we had already sort of preempted the programming, they continued the drive till the 7th. I was going to say, I think when I asked about this last time, Miss Jesuits actually aired a separate full show this year during the period of time when when KPFA was fundraising and KPFK was not. Mitch just aired a separate show for KPFK.
Yeah.
So it's mainly about the news, and the news, it's not a lot of money, I don't think, I've ever seen in this space.
I'm in.
Yeah, that's a lot of work for him.
Amazing on that part. But just to say that I don't think there was that problem of having the extension of the drive in that way that we had previously. On the news now, we're doing like a 15-minute cutaway at KPFK from the news with local news, and I think that they mostly are pitching well. We're not, taking their feeds, so then we do a local pitch with the local reporters during that time. I think it's less of a problem overall this year, is what I'm saying. At least in terms of I think it would be better if they were synced, as you say, but...
You think it's being handled better? Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
I'm in it also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do the two... Okay, yeah, all right.
Tracy.
I'll get back to the question.
Did you hear that I would like to comment?
Yes, I thought I also heard someone else, or was that you?
Richard, you recognize me.
That was Richard. Okay. So let's do Richard, then we'll go to Barbara.
I think Barbara said it first. So go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I also have been talking with the staff here, and I agree with Michael that it seems like the programmers and the people handling, the fund drives have worked it out, so there is not conflict that people are having to deal with when they're not fundraising at exactly the same period. And I also wanted to go on and say, although people are talking about improvements that could be made if we were syndicating our fund drive so that everyone was, you know, fundraising at the same time, I noticed that one of the very important reasons, I think, for just letting stations adapt to, you know, what their schedule is. A lot of times there are various things in particular communities they want to avoid or include. But as long as the staff has worked out these problems, I think having our fund drives a little bit staggered is actually good for our cash flow. It makes it easier for, you know, some station to have to maybe pay toward their central services ahead of time, and it turns out to be a loan to another station. I just think if you have everybody getting lots of money at the same time and having very little money at the same time is going to be an actual hardship. And so I think the fact that the stations slightly stagger fundraising now isn't a problem. I think it's actually a benefit.
Okay. Well, the question that I was going to ask, because it's sort of been identified as a goal to eventually get all of the fund drives going at the same time, which I actually think would be beneficial for all kinds of reasons, including having a consistent cycle. But is there any progress towards doing that you know of?
Well,
Michael, Barbara?
I'd just like to comment, Tracy, you said there's been a move, or what did you say, the feeling that this should happen?
That was what the executive director expressed.
Right, and I would say, from my point of view, there's not 100% agreement on this as a good idea.
Okay. Michael, did you say that there's been any progress on this goal?
I think that the general managers at KPFA and KPFK, or at least I guess you changed yours to the previous one, had made some agreement, but then they really couldn't stick to it because KPFA was starting their drive much earlier than we were prepared to, given how recently we had ended a previous one. I think Richard was on the stack, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my God, you're right. Go ahead, Richard. See what happens when you volunteer to give up your turn.
That's all right. It's a challenge to see us here. I find it hard to believe what Barbara said about us disagreeing with anything. That's a joke. I'm not sure that I understand this dilemma, this question. As I understand it, the two West Coast stations were doing some sort of simulcast, and when the pledges came in, some of them went to the wrong station.
No.
Did that one? What happened? What happened? I'm not understanding.
I can explain if you want. What happens is that when the simulcasts are going on, the hosts for those programs fundraise, whether for whichever station is in fund drive. So the first thing that happened was that when the station staggered their fund drives, those particular programs were fundraising on the air for periods of, you know, 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 weeks longer than each station's fund drive. So you had listeners exposed to excess fundraising was the first problem. The second problem related to how they were handling the pledges, because when the pledges came in for the station that was not technically in fund drive, in other words, when the pledges came in Berkeley from LA folks as a result of the LA fund drive, Berkeley didn't process those. Instead, they wrote down the amounts and wrote down the donor contact information and sent it to LA for reasons I'm not quite clear on. That hasn't been reciprocal In other words, it's only been Berkeley that's been transferring pledges. LA has not been transferring pledges up to Berkeley. Hold on one second. Just let me get through the explanation, then yes, you can. And there were discrepancies between LA and Berkeley that were substantial. At some point, it was something like $12,000 or $13,000 in the amounts that LA was recording as incoming and the amounts that Berkeley was recording as outgoing. There were really serious discrepancies, and it was really confusing in terms of getting accurate fund drive numbers, and it was driving everyone a little crazy because the numbers were way out of sync. I think it's correct that there have been some adjustments made to, A, reduce the fund drive fatigue on the part of the listeners to those shows, and I think there's also been some progress in tightening up the process so the discrepancies were not as huge as they've been. It's still, however, a process that leads to some confusion, I think, on an ongoing basis. And, you know, part of what I wanted to ask is, A, are we making any progress on syndicating the fund drives so we don't have this problem anymore, number one. And number two, what was the amount from the last fund drive? Because KPFA posts fund drive totals, and we have to take those numbers out and so on. So I did want to get it, you know, how much. Normally in about a three-week fund drive, we're talking about $35,000 to $45,000. So it's, you know, it's not an insignificant amount of money. So, okay. So, Richard, that's the explanation. Do you want to continue with your comment, or should I go to Michael?
No, thank you for your explanation.
All right. Michael?
Yeah, so I guess this is by way of a little further explanation. Several years ago, as a base building an economy measure, there was an agreement made that KPFK would stop running its own evening newscast, and most of the news staff were laid off, and we would carry, quote-unquote, Pacific Evening News, which is basically the KPFA broadcast, news broadcast. And There's a lot of unhappiness about that, the upshot. Our LSD voted a couple of times to try to restore the local news, and the current agreement that management was able to come up with, given our other budgetary things, was to have a 15-minute cutaway. So we're basically broadcasting the KPFA news as our newscast.
Barbara, comment.
Yeah, I know, and I know there's a lot of unhappiness about that in LA.
So, but just to finish the explanation, so when the newscast occurs during a fund drive, and also on Mitch Jesmer's show, KPFA uses their 800 number for the pledges. And so the 800 number is like 800-HEY-KPFA. So all the calls that come in during Mitch's show and during the newscast, if they're responding to that 800 number, are going to KPFA. That's why it required some kind of agreement. Now, on this call, it's the first time I heard this idea that somehow calls that are coming in from Southern California at other times are also credited to KPFK. I had never heard that before. I thought it was only during Mitch's show and during the news when we're broadcasting your pitching.
Barbara had informed us that during the fund drive that calls that come in from LA all during the course of the day are transferred to KPFK.
Yeah, like I said, that's news to me. I'll try to check with our business manager who's back from vacation, the general manager, to see if we're getting other money besides the money that comes in during those two shows. But I never heard that before. So,
Yeah, I think the concept is that if the number goes out, then the number goes out. So people call the number. But I don't know.
I mean, maybe people are listening on the web stream or something, and they want to hear flashpoints or something, and they tune in to KPFA.org or something. But I don't know.
Okay. Well,
that's the reason why it's a one-way transfer.
KPFA never announces the phone number for KPFKs. phone drive room during
the
their
the only time
phone drive,
the only time that number's announced is during Mitch's show, mm-hmm. And is otherwise
right.
We have our own 818 number.
Right. Okay. Well, to those folks who are not at the California stations, do you have any thoughts about all of? Just a second, Barbara. Let me get through a sentence. To the folks that are not at the California stations, do you have any thoughts about this? I might throw a motion out there, but I just wanted to hear kind of how this sounds if you're not in the middle of it.
This is Jim.
Yes, go ahead.
I almost feel it's like not our problem, and it's kind of hard for me to see where that would be our problem later, unless we get some, foundation network-wide programming that hits all stations at the same time.
Could happen. So it's not
I don't have this burning push to do a motion. So I'm as far as putting something together, maybe better. You in California know the mechanics of it and some of the pitfalls, and perhaps it should, any kind of emotions should come from you out there.
Yeah. Okay, Barbara.
Well, I just wanted to point out to Michael and others that not only KPFA people are on the news, although I guess the central place that it's coming from, there are reporters from Los Angeles that have stories in the news, and and from Fresno area as well. So it is presented, from my point of view, as statewide news, and of course we cover stories from other parts of the country and the world.
Well, I'm not complaining about the newscast. I was just explaining that during those are the two times when the air uses your. Hey, KPFA.
And as I understand it now, the staff has got it worked out that the only time that our number is used is when we are both in Fund Drive.
That's right.
And so my feeling is that, and I would not describe the situation exactly as Tracy did, only not all that different, but I believe that it is not a problem at this point. And as far as large discrepancies, I thought I'd just describe to you that what we did in the past was we asked for information in the middle of a transaction that the staff in Los Angeles and up here communicate about when they're transferring the records from these pledges. I feel like the staff has got it under control, and I don't think we need to try to force, if it's not broke, let's not fix it.
Do you know what the amount is of the LA pledges from the last fund drive?
No, I didn't commit that to memory, and in fact, the amount is tabulated in Los Angeles. It doesn't even go into our MEMSIS account. We don't?
Well, yes, but we have a chalkboard number that includes
the chalkboard number,
and we have to subtract to know if we've met our goal or not, because we can't make our goal with LA pledges, and we do in fact put them on the chalkboard.
Well, it's true.
Okay.
There is a figure on the chalkboard that contains in it an estimate of an amount that would be coming from the LA area. And the estimate is usually somewhere between 5% and 6%, and whatever we add to the amount that we're going to have to raise for ourselves and for Fresno is based on an analysis of how it's gone in the last few years. What was the actual difference, between the amount that we were going to be raising for ourselves and adding on something to accommodate the kind of calls we get when we're fundraising at the same time as Los Angeles.
Michael, is this spec?
I mean, the total up on the chalkboard is, after all, not. It's an estimate. It's a goal. It's not something that's in the bank, and we've got to figure out the difference between that bank and this bank. It's not like that. In fact, pledges are not the same as actual payments. So there's a lot of calculations that go on about pledges versus payments that come in for all the stations, each of us individually. And we don't get involved in following through on the pledges that are made for Los Angeles. They do.
Yeah, we have a complicated situation in LA because in Berkeley, because in addition to this LA thing, we also collect pledges for the Fresno station that pass through. So
they don't show up in our ledgers at all.
Yes, they do.
Fresno does not. You made a report last Saturday, Tracy. The money that comes in for Fresno is calculated monthly. It goes into the bank. It goes into the revenue account, but it never goes into a general ledger statement because it's calculated at the end of each month and a payment is issued. So
yes, we put it into our bank account
of
and
our,
take it out.
Our
it
ledger.
Does run through our books.
It's not part of our general ledger account. It doesn't come into any of our profit and loss statements.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to talk about that, because if we deposit it into our bank account and then cut a check, then it is, in fact, in our books, in our general ledger, and needs to be accounted for in our financial statement.
It's not, because it goes out before it does anything.
Well, that's not quite proper accounting, but okay.
Well, you're not an accountant either, so.
Barbara, any deposit into your bank account and any check that you cut is entered into your ledger. That's a fact. That doesn't require a CPA to ascertain. You can't have off-the-book transactions.
It's not off the books, Tracy.
Okay. Then at some point, as I asked you, you'll show me where it is in the books.
John to the stack,
anyway,
please. John to the stack.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
We had a situation that came up at KPFK that Michael may have more information about. It had to do with an anonymous $10,000 pledge. And
oh,
Michael,
yes,
am I correct in saying that that did not go through our ledger?
Well, we're still debating it, but the finder's name is going into the ledger as a donation in kind as opposed to cash, because the donor made the payment directly to the provider of the transmitter. So we were billed whatever it was, $90,000. Our books show a payment only of $80,000. The other $10,000 essentially is a donation in kind from the donor. Not a cash donation. It's a different, completely different.
Yeah. Kim talked about that a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a perfect world, the donation should have come to KPFK, and then you should have written a check to the vendor. But
sure. But if somebody's willing to pay $10,000 out of their pocket and says they just want to write the check to the vendor, insist, I don't think. Anyway. I don't know anything about the protest situation whatsoever. I didn't want to talk about that, but it wasn't respect. I guess I wanted to comment on the general question of synchronizing the fund drives. I think we've been back and forth about that, and I think that one of the issues is that most of the stations do carry Democracy Now, and although that's not the big fundraiser for us, at least it used to be, Amy is actually pitching for KPFA when we air Democracy Now! During our fund drive on KPFA. If we were doing all five stations at the same time, that would be an unbelievable burden on them to generate five different pitches that would be aired instead of a regular show that they're sending out.
Well, actually, I think that the request to syndicate the fund drives actually came from Amy. specifically, she was one of the people that said that it would be easier in that keeping track of five different individual stations, that keeping track of five different individual fund drives was actually for Democracy Now much more burdensome. So I think it actually works the other way as far as Deanna's concerned. And, of course, Deanna's an independent organization. We're not making decisions based on what's easiest for them. But they did express some concern because it basically put her in the position of almost constantly pitching. And that actually their preference was the other way around, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we are getting to the end of this meeting. I'm inclined to put a motion on the floor that we consider recommending to the PNB and to the full board that efforts be made to syndicate the fund drive efforts, because to me it's clearly beneficial. I think there are times where cash flow is going to make it impossible, but certainly in terms of what we should be striving towards, that it would logistically and organizationally be much better to have consistent fund drive cycles than to be almost constantly in fund drives at one station or the other. I realize from hearing the conversation that's going to be controversial, but I think I am going to go ahead and put it on the floor. And if it doesn't pass, then it doesn't pass, and I can live with that. I'm not going to get into the details of cash handling between the stations, although I do have some concerns. I need to get a little bit of more information about how that's working before I'm comfortable proposing any policy in particular. But I am, speaking for myself, fairly secure that moving towards syndicated fund drives would be beneficial overall.
So you're saying syndicated. Do you mean synchronized?
Synchronized, yes. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm getting tired. Absolutely, I mean synchronized. So let me come up with some wording for that. Paul, are you ready?
Go ahead.
All right. So I think it would go something like, the NFC recommends to the PNB that station fund drives be synchronized over similar periods of time whenever possible to maximize organizational efficiency, period. And I'm going to keep the whenever possible in there because I realize there are times that it might not be possible. But I think it's a good goal.
Would you object to tabling this for our next meeting? I would much rather have some input from my finance committee and LSP and management before voting or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, from a Robert's Rules of Order perspective, I'm going to postpone it to the next meeting. Does that work?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Any objections?
Okay, no. So is that a motion to postpone to the next meeting?
Well, yeah. It never got a second, right?
It doesn't need a second in committee.
All right, so the
motion was put forward. And Michael's making a motion to postpone it to the next meeting, which is not a problem with the maker of the motion. So procedurally, unless there's an objection, the motion will be postponed to the next meeting. It'll be on the agenda then. Okay, hearing no objections, the motion is postponed. And with that, we've gotten to the end of the agenda. So is there anything anybody wants to comment on at the end or put out for the next meeting? Okay.
Next meeting
Date. Sorry, Michael, what?
Repeat the date of the next meeting. Sorry.
Oh, 2 weeks from today. Today is June 11th.
June 25th.
June 25th. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll do that on June 25th. Please try to hang on to that 6 weeks to get the budgets to your LSBs, and take that seriously, and, you know, try to make that possible. It would be great if we could really start doing the serious budget work in August like we're supposed to, instead of at the beginning of September in a crazy heated rush. And if we don't get budgets through LSBs by July, then we will be looking at that whole stupid extension thing, which I think everyone who's been through the Finance Committee has had more than enough of. So make an effort. And I guess that's it. Anybody else with anything?
Just a question. Is there going to be a executive meeting after this?
Is there going to be a what?
Executive.
An executive meeting. No. No, we don't have one scheduled. We're trying to be as minimal about executive session as possible. And we don't do it unless there's a very specific reason.
Right.
And tonight, there's no reason. We do keep it on the schedule. That's why you get a phone number each time when you get the announcement.
Yes.
But unless we have something on the agenda for closed session or something comes up in the meeting that just has to be discussed and it's in closed, then we don't go. It's just there as a default.
I'd like to growl for attending.
Yes, I me too.
I realize he has a very difficult schedule.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Raul. Thank you. Congratulations on becoming the CFO, and thanks.
Hopefully, we'll be able to.
Thank you, Raul.
Possible.
Yes, thank you. All right, so I'll see everybody on the 25th, and have a good couple of weeks.
Yes, great.
Good night.
Thanks, Stacy. Thanks, everyone.